Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you all so much for the music. We just enjoy the music when we come to Beacon. Good evening. Good to see you. I have to say that I will never... I'll never take for granted the opportunities to come to Beacon, because we've tried several times now in the last couple of months, and it just didn't work out for one reason or another. And so when I was asked again on Monday, I told Brother Andy, I said, you must really love me because you're giving me another chance, you know. But we miss you, and it's good to be with you again tonight. Want to just ask, and because I know the history, I want to ask that you keep the Maggards in prayer. As most of you know, or some of you know, Sister Frances had surgery last week, just a few days ago, and Brother Ron is not well. So, you know, both of them are at home sick, and he was not able to be in church this morning. So keep them in your prayer. In your prayers, and check on them if you have their number, just to be an encouragement. Tonight we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to say welcome to those of you who are joining us online. Pray that the service tonight will be a, a blessing to all of you. And just want to say a special welcome to our special guest, Pastor Blaylock. and as a guest, you're sitting on the front row. That's a blessing. So it's good to have you with us tonight. It's a rarity for me, you know. So it's just a joy for my wife and I to see him. Our scripture reading was taken from chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verses 1 to 11. And before we pray, I just want to read verses 3 and 4. And then we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Our precious Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the music that has prepared our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that we can be an encouragement one to another. We live in days of uncertainty, and some folks are having difficulties dealing with all the events that are taking place throughout the world. But we thank you that in you we can have peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Tonight I pray for your guidance and direction. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to be clear and to just share with everyone what you've laid on my heart. I want to just take the time out to pray for the Maggards tonight, for Brother Ron and Sister Frances. Just reach down, Lord, and heal them, encourage them. Lord, we love them and we are thankful for the life that they have lived and the example that they have set with their faithfulness. And so I just pray that you would intercede on their behalf regarding their health. We commit this time to you now and ask that the Lord Jesus might be honored and glorified. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Pastor Blaylock mentioned tonight that someone walked the aisle last week and trusted Christ as Savior. And then someone walked the aisle today, trusted Christ as Savior. That's reason to rejoice, amen? That's reason to give God thanks. Now, if I should ask tonight for someone to share their testimony with us, chances are that they would hear how, or we would hear how that person came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. I came to church. I heard the gospel. I was convicted. Someone took me aside and showed me in the Bible what Jesus did for me, and I received him as my Lord and Savior. And we would be blessed by that testimony. Nothing unusual about that, because that's someone's testimony. But the Apostle Peter approaches the subject of our testimony from a slightly different perspective. He says in verse 3 of our text, as I just read, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked," and then he lists several sins or ways of life. He says, in your past life, before you got saved, before you trusted Jesus as Savior, you lived like other unsaved people lived. He uses the word Gentiles, but that's what he's referring to. And then he lists some of the lifestyles of other, of some unsaved people. He says, lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Then he says in verse 4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." In other words, because you now do not live that way anymore, some of your friends and family think that something strange has happened to you. You're not acting the way that you used to act. And he goes on to say that some even speak evil of you. Now, when we study the epistles in the New Testament, we find that most of them were written to specific churches. So there are 21 epistles, 14 of which, 13 or 14, depends on your perspective, were written by the Apostle Paul. We call them Pauline epistles. The other epistles are called general epistles, and there are 7 of them. And these epistles or letters were intended to be circulated throughout the early churches. This is no different, because when we read the first verse of Peter, 1 Peter, we find that he opens his letter by saying, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, etc." So he's writing to all the early believers. And he touches on a range of topics common to the believer's life, which is why 1 Peter is such a wonderful book to study. He talks about eternal security and the purpose for difficulties and trials in our lives. He talks about the importance of holiness and developing a desire for God's word and conformity to the laws of the land. These are the topics that Peter touches on. But this evening, I just want to consider a small portion of Peter's epistle that is extremely practical. And that's what I like to do on a Sunday evening as we prepare ourselves to launch into a new week. Peter talks about something that every believer possesses if they publicly express their faith in Jesus Christ, otherwise known as their profession of faith. He's talking about our testimony. In other words, he's referring to evidence that we have been saved, that we have been born again. Now, whether we want it or not, we have no choice. Everyone around us judges our testimony as to whether it is authentic and genuine, or it's weak. That's not something we ask for, but that's something that's going to happen. And so Peter gives us some practical observations and practical instructions or practical advice regarding our testimony. And these instructions are extremely valuable because our testimony is valuable. And so when we read this, we find that there ought to be a change in the life of God's people. Those of us who consciously live for the Lord and endeavor to be obedient to His word, our life is going to be different from the way it once was. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And if this is consistent in our lives, it is going to create curiosity in the lives of those who know us. He starts off by looking at the past, and he uses expressions that are in the past tense. No longer live, time past, have wrought, when we walked. So he's talking about the past. He's talking about the way life used to be. And when I read this, it brings back memories of my past life. Because I got saved in my 20s. And so I lived through those rebellious teenage years. Somebody said to me, "You know, why don't you write a book?" And I said the book could not be honest because I couldn't write about that period of my life. It's just too terrible. And I'm glad that my children didn't know me that way. And I'm glad my wife didn't know me that way. So when I got saved, I was no saint. When I got saved, there was a drastic change in my life. Immediately. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like that for everybody, but I know what happened to me. I was just so thankful that I had a chance to start over with a clean slate because the blood of Jesus cleansed me from all sin. What a blessing. So these verses fit me personally. Now, not all believers had a sordid past like me. You know, some, I look at these young ladies and I can just tell that they're insulated and they're protected and they're growing up in a Christian home and a wonderful church. And they might not, God willing, might not ever experience some of what's out there. And that's a wonderful thing. A pastor's son who was a counselor at one of the camps that I used to attend in Jamaica, he came to me one day and he said, "Pastor Black, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm just so tempted just to get a taste of what people my age are experiencing." And I said to him, "David, I beg you, don't do that. It is like a Pandora's box. You lift the lid and all kinds of evil comes out. You continue to live for the Lord. Separate yourself from the world." But even for those who lived in protected homes and wonderful churches, when they get saved, there is still a change. Because that's what the Bible says. "Therefore, if any man or woman or boy or girl be in Christ, they're a new creature." So there's going to be change in attitude, habits, speech, desires, thoughts, motives, actions. It's going to happen. And for all of us, there should be a change in areas of our desire. We should have a desire for spiritual growth, and we should have a desire to read God's word, and we should love God's word, and it should make sense to us. We should increase our church attendance when we get saved. Amen? Our priorities change. And that is why our lives create a curiosity when we get saved, to those who know us. And they'll say something like, "There's something different about you." And inside you say, "Praise the Lord." And it's also a perfect opening to give your testimony. "Well, let me tell you what happened to me, and then you can talk about what Jesus did for you." That's your profession of faith. But keep in mind that there has to be a balance. We have to be wise about how we share our testimony. Fanaticism turns people off. We have to be careful. I remember once we were going to a conference. I was just a young person in my early 20s and a young Christian, and our pastor took a group of us to a conference, and it was here in Florida. I was stationed in North Carolina. So we came down in the church bus, and you know, we came to the conference here, and we're in Florida, sunny Florida. And so once the conference was finished, us young guys said, "Pastor, can we stop at Disney World?" He says, "Disney World, why you want to go to Disney World?" Of course, he's older. We'd have a good time. So we talked him into it, and we ended up going to Disney World. And you know, when you're going on a particular ride, you have this, like a worm, you know, this S thing. You know what I'm talking about? So you're passing the same people over and over. And for some reason, one of the guys in our group decided to latch on to one of the patrons at Disney World. And it started like this: "Sir, do you know Jesus as your Savior?" No, there are like 100 people in the line. And we're all packed because we're not in one long line. It's like that, stacked. So I don't remember what the guy said. This is 40-something years ago. And we come back again, and he said, "Sir, you know, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open." Listen, that's not wise. That's not the way to do it. So that night, we all gathered together for devotions, and, you know, me with my big mouth, I said, "Pastor, what do you think about what Phil did today?" And he said, "Well, brother, wasn't very wise, but it sure broke up a lot of fallow ground." But that's not the way to do it. We ought not to embarrass people. We also don't have to be Bible thumpers. You know, in other words, every time somebody asks you a question, you answer with a Bible verse. "Well, how are you today?" "Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." "May I borrow your phone?" "Well, you know, the Bible says the borrower is a servant to the lender." But on the other hand, being a Christian does not mean that we go around with a melancholy look on our face, a doomsday attitude, and always just judging people. Our personality should shine through, bathed in the love and grace of God. Peter puts it this way: "Be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that lieth in you." When Jesus was on earth, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we have to ask the Lord for wisdom, because we want to be a witness. We want to be a voice for the Lord, but we don't want to turn people off. So the Lord Jesus and his love and his grace should shine through in our lives every day, during our interactions and our responses. And when we get the opportunity, we share our testimony: how I got saved, what the Lord has done for me, the wonderful peace that I get from the Word of God. But there are those skeptics who would say, "Oh, so do you think that once you get saved, you're saved forever?" And you said, "Oh, yes." So they say, "You can't lose your salvation." "Oh, no. He that hath the Son hath life. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you're saved." We have eternal life which lasts forever. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. So they will say, "Well, if you're saved and you're going to heaven, then why deprive yourself of some of the enjoyments that life offers?" You see, they're coming right in line with what Peter is talking about. Why is it you don't do the things that you used to do? You enjoyed them, and they're still enjoyable. Well, Peter says this is the answer you have to give. Verse 5. "We shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." I don't live like that anymore. I don't chase that lifestyle anymore, because I have to give an account to God as to how I lived the life that he gave me. That keeps us sober. And praise the Lord, through experience, I can tell you, and you folks know too, curiosity can lead to conversations. Conversations can lead to explanations about what the Lord has done for us. And praise the Lord, some will want to know more. And I say, hallelujah. I would tell you a story, but maybe you can edit this part out. But when I was a police officer, I worked for a lieutenant who found out that I was a Christian. And he was so curious. Almost every night that we worked, he wanted me to pull car to car. You've seen cops together, car beside car, and tell him everything about the Bible. He said after some time that he knelt beside his bed and trusted the Lord. And he started coming to church, but then he said, you know, it was not intellectually stimulating, so he went back to the Catholic Church. But I pray that his salvation is genuine. I don't know. You know, we have to examine ourselves personally, but we can't tell about somebody else. But thank the Lord I had the opportunity to talk to him. So some will want to know more, but some will ridicule you. Some will attack you. I had to endure once. I preached in Massachusetts, and I didn't have a car, so the folks who took me there were in my family. And it was the first time they were hearing me preach. And on the way back to their house, there was silence in the car. Nobody said a word. And as soon as I got in the house, she launched into me. Who do you think you are? How dare you talk to people like that? All I did was preach the word. But you see, conviction can evidence itself in many different ways. Sometimes the people who should be most supportive when we get saved and our lives are changed, those people resist us. My change was so drastic, and my desire for my family to be saved was so sincere and strong and passionate. My father pulled me aside one night and he said, Hugh, I've seen a lot of people with this born-again thing, and they end up in mental institutions. Be careful. A few years later, he got saved. So we might have to endure the ridicule, and we might have to endure the criticism. But praise the Lord, our testimony is secure in the eyes of God. Peter goes on to say that our lives must be controlled by charity. We need to accept these criticisms graciously. It's just a part of the journey in this faith, in this life of faith. There will always be opposition to our walk with the Lord. But always remember, according to verse 8, love covers a multitude of sins. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's one of my favorite verses. That's a great verse to put on your refrigerator door. It is a reminder that sometimes we just have to let things go. And let me say this, again, being careful in what we say. Sometimes the conflicts are not because of our position, but because of our disposition, our attitude, our tone, our spirit. So we just have to ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance in the way we share our lives with other people. Jeremiah the prophet says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." And so because of how God has treated us, we owe it to others to treat them with charity and compassion as well. So our changed life should create curiosity. Our spirit and attitude should be controlled by charity. And then finally, our words of explanation should be centered in Christ. What do I mean by that? Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Oracles of God is referring to the word of God. And the wonderful thing about being a Christian is that when we are questioned out of curiosity, we have an opportunity to share the word of God. Not our opinion. We're not in a debate. The reason that we rely on the word of God is because of what's written in the word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God can get to a place in a human being's soul that opinions cannot reach. So we have to depend on God's word. Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we share, when we speak, when we have that opportunity, when God opens that door, we ought to make sure that we include the word of God. That is what is going to make the impact on people's lives. But in order to do that, we've got to know the word of God. Because we've got to use the scripture that is needed at that particular time. This is why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to use it correctly. And it requires study. It requires discipline. Our opinions can't transform lives. Our opinions can't evoke conviction. Our opinions have no power. But the word of God has power and can transform lives. Jeremiah said, my word is like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So when we do get the opportunity, say, Lord, bring to my mind the scripture that I need in this particular situation and share it. And listen, there's no rush. If the person is willing to listen, you have your Bible right here. And in this app, you have what's called a search engine. So you want to know about love, or you want to know about compassion, you just plug it in. Make sure it's King James, though. Is that okay? And put it in. And then you just read it. Why do we do this? Why do we share our testimony? Why do we bathe it in the word of God? Why do we do it according to the scriptures? The last part of verse 11. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That is our whole purpose for being on this earth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we're here. And so if we allow these verses and these principles to become a reality in our lives, to become a part of our lives, and God gives us long life, we're going to be able to look back in our old age and see all the lives that our life impacted. And what a blessing. And when we get to the end, we'll say, man, it was worth it. It was worth it. Little guy from Kingston, Jamaica, impacted another life, wherever you are from. And none of us in here is great. None of us in here is special. But God can use every one of us. My wife was showing a picture of our grandkids who live in Jamaica to a little girl. I think she might be 6 or 7. You know the first thing that came out of her mouth when she looked at the pictures? Do they know Jesus? Wow. Most of the time we say, man, what pretty eyes. That's a beautiful dress. This little 7-year-old girl said, do they know Jesus? That really spoke to my heart. I believe all of us would like to know when we get to the end of our lives that we have made an impact on another life. Especially when we remember how we were and remember where we were headed before salvation. And the Lord has saved us, transformed us, and used us for His glory. Can't get any better than that. And we'll be able to praise the Lord to the depths of our soul and say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. So every one of us possesses a testimony. The question is it genuine? Is it consistent with our manner of life? Is it impactful? I think that's a good message to launch us into the week. Amen? Short and sweet. I wanted to get you out in time to see the finals. Hey, I'm still living on earth. Seriously, think on these things. Let them permeate your heart and your soul and your mind. And say, Lord, I want my testimony to be like that. Genuine. Impactful. I want people to see a difference in me because of what Jesus has done in my life. And the Lord will be pleased. Amen.